You know, I've been doing a series on Jesus as your friend. Now, when we did the series on the Holy Spirit, it was 17 weeks. Now, I went back and looked to see how many messages that we had with Jesus as friend, and this will be the 19th in that series. Now, the good news is this is the last one. And then I'll go back to preaching from the lectionary for the rest of my time here. My last Sunday here at Bethel will be June the 28th. But it's been a joy to be able to share my friend with you in these wonderful series, and I hope and pray that you got something out of it. But I was going to reflect on the very last part of this as promises forever. You know, God has given us so many promises, and they are forever and ever. Amen. So, I want to talk about something that I grew up with, and maybe you did. And that was music back in the 50s and the early 60s. Now, there was some group that came bursting into the frame in the 1960s and became superstars. Yeah, people like Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley. But then they felt dethroned and sidelined because mass crowds started overflowing concert halls and became packed with people just waiting to catch a distant view of a shaggy bunch with locks of hair. And these men were from Liverpool, England, and family stayed home on Sunday night to see these boys on the Ed Sullivan Show on television. It was exciting. But no one knew that the Beatles themselves were reeling from their success. It says, "It's like we're four freaks." That's one of the Beatles said. "Four freaks being wheeled out to be seen, shake our hair, and get back in our cage afterwards." Now, those were remarks by John Lennon, who would later be shot to death outside a New York City apartment. George Harrison, one of the other Beatles who later died of cancer, became so discouraged that he wanted to quit the band. "There's no satisfaction in it," he said. "We got worse as musicians, playing the same old junk every day." Now, is that a metaphor for life? That the same old junk every day? I think those who envy have decreasing joy from being those who we envy. When there's nothing more than noise and notoriety, life becomes thin. What I always said about the Apostle Paul, if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection, we have hope. But I think maybe even those who rise to heights in their careers find the heavens are full of darkness. Another tragic superstar in that area was Marilyn Monroe. She said, "Fame doesn't fulfill you. It warms you a bit, but that warmth is temporary." Now, in this series, Jesus as Friend, I've been telling you about a friend who is unchanging, majestic, marvelous, trustworthy, dependable, holy, and triumphant. He fills our need for the purpose, the significance, and the assurance, and the courage. He warns us with a love that never ceases, not even for one moment. And there are discouraging things happening in the world, and certainly it does not mean that we're discouraged. Amen? Are there discouraging people in place of authority? Oh, yeah. Or a discouraging thing happening within the church? Yes, that it is for sure. But again, I'm not discouraged. And I'm often reminding myself that discouragement is not welcome in my life. That little prefix dis, D-I-S, means to be without. You and I are not without courage. We have the courage to face what's ahead of us because of our hope that we have in a person of Jesus who is our friend. Now, I've been using my scripture text at the beginning of Revelation chapter 1, but I want to look at some other passages in that wonderful love letter to us. The book of Revelation is God's love letter to us. And in chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Has anybody ever wiped a tear from your cheek? You know, maybe a mom or a friend or something, when you were struggling with something and you had a tear run down your cheek. Have you ever had anybody wipe it away? I think that's a very intimate thing. When somebody touches your face, even more, your eye. And it's not the action of a stranger or a casual acquaintance. It's somebody just passing. No, it's somebody that loves you and you love thee. Yet in Revelation chapter 7, Jesus tells us that he will do that. The promise is repeated again in chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things have passed away. Now, what's the cause of your tears today? Is it pain, suffering, disappointment? Do you feel like weeping a lot? Remember that passage we looked at in the previous chapter from Revelation chapter 5? The Apostle John was caught up to the heavens when he saw the angels of God standing around a strange scroll. But he wept because no one was worthy to open the document, which would trigger the events leading to the consummation of God's plan for history. John said in Revelation chapter 5, verse 4, he said, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. I want to give us a little perspective. I think when we see the glory of the Lord, when we see our friend Jesus in all of his majesty and splendor of his kingdom, encircled by the innumerable company of angels, and when the authority of his voice will bring the dead to life again, and we see him as judge of all, I believe we'll weep because we're so reluctant to cooperate with him. I think as we look back and see those places in our lives where we were actually stubbornly dug in and refused his invitations at times. We didn't want him to take up our cross. No, we didn't want him to follow him. We didn't want to represent him to the world. We weren't interested. We were ashamed of him. And I think the Lord and I thank him for forgiving us and wiping away our tears. You see, we only make one journey through time. We don't get it again. And I was looking the other day for an expiration date on my body, and I can't find one, so I don't know when it's my turn to go to heaven. But I think we only get one opportunity to honor the Lord. It's the spirit of Antichrist moving in the earth. And it is. But on the other hand, you know I like the buts and the ifs. On the other hand, the Spirit of God is also moving in the earth under the direction of the soon coming Lamb of God. God is shaking the earth, and there's more happening than we know. So let's move forward with him as we wait his coming. Jesus is always moving onward and upward. He isn't passing fad. No, he didn't just have 15 minutes of fame. He is forever. Look around and see what he's doing near you, and then join him. One day he will come again. And that moment is described vividly in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. That's my buddy. That's my friend. He's coming back. Not only for me, but for all of us. And I think you might want to be prepared for that. If you want to lead every day with that reality, you want to arrange your weeks and plan your days and invest yourself so that your relationship with him is growing stronger and stronger, as we talked about last week. Practicing your faith spiritually, getting stronger and stronger as you study the Word of God and your relationship with him. You want to increasingly learn to recognize His voice, His Holy Spirit, value His word, and stand with His people, the church. And if you're walking with Him, He's doing things that'll strengthen your faith and dispel your discouragement. Hallelujah. And then one day we'll stand with the myriads of heaven and sing together with the angels and the saints of all ages. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. That's it. Until then, let's be undaunted as we carry on the mission of our forever friend. Introduce Him to others and work with them. Now, I want to come to the conclusion of this series with this thought. Mr. Jones, meet the Master. Now, I don't know about you, but few people read books of sermon transcripts these days. But it wasn't always like that. You know, we have Wesley's transcripts of all his sermons, and we have this one and that one and of Times Fast. But I think one of the greatest books in 20th century in our time was Mr. Jones, Meet the Master. And it was a selection of sermons and prayers by the Scottish pastor Peter Marshall. Now, if you didn't know who Peter Marshall is, he served as chaplain to the United States Senate in the 1940s. And the title of the book came from one of Marshall's best-known sermons, which was included in the volume. In that message, Peter Marshall had told of sitting beside a man named Mr. Jones at a very fancy banquet. He and the man discussed the soul-shredding problems of their time, and Mr. Jones asked, say though, if you really think things are that bad, what's the answer? Peter Marshall answered, there's only one answer that I know. People of God like you and me becoming personally acquainted with Him. And when a man cultivates a personal relationship with the chief, there's no life too much of a mess for him to straighten out and keep out no problems that he can't handle, give them to God. Mr. Jones, Peter said, meet the Master. My friend, I want you to meet the Master. I want you to cultivate a personal relationship and friendship with the Lord of the universe, with the King of Glory, with Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you do, there is no problem in your life He can't handle. There's no load that He can't lift. There's no end to the way He will bless you and make you a blessing. He will be a friend that you can love and serve all the days of your life. So as we grow in our friendship with Him, He changes us. He emboldens us. We find ourselves using our voices to speak up for Him and for His causes, His conviction. As your loyalty to Christ grows, let me tell you what'll happen. I know, because it happened to me. You'll want to spend more time reading His Word, the Bible. It'll become your chief textbook for life and the basis for your deepening understanding of the world around you. Reading and studying God's Word, joining His people in worship every week, sharing His message and speaking up for His agenda. Those are the signs of a deepening relationship with your friend Jesus. And that's how we develop a biblical worldview. The world needs a biblical worldview. Everyone does. Even if they don't realize it, the Lord will give you the courage and the enjoyment of speaking up for Him to your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. And when we are silent and fail to share the Lord's wisdom with the world around us, it diminishes the cross and the cause of Christ. So followers of Christ don't bully everybody. No, we don't bully. We don't intimidate. We're silent people. No, it's a privilege to speak His truth to our culture because we know He will use it to help all the other Mr. Joneses who need to meet the Master too. Now, I want to give you a proclamation. And think about this proclamation as I read it. And if you can claim this proclamation for your own, take it and proclaim what God has done for you. Here's the proclamation. I wish I could show it to you, but on the audio version, we can't. So this is what it is. I here and now proclaim that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is the Lord of my life, the King of my moments, the Redeemer of my soul, and without hesitation, I accept his invitation to be my friend. By his grace, I will serve him faithfully and obey him constantly and consistently, and will proclaim him loudly to the world for which he died. I will not stop, and I will not be silent. I will serve him with joy. Amen and hallelujah. Praise be to God. Continue your relationship with our friend, because he's got promises that last forever. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name.